Now, chapter 9 of the Gospel of John begins by John telling us that Jesus passed by. Now, it's interesting that chapter 8 ends with Jesus also passing by. But in that instance, his confrontation with the Pharisees and scribes, where he hid himself, that the stones that they picked up, taken to cast at him, would not find its target. So in two instances, he is passing by. And he goes through the midst of them, hides himself from them. And then as he passes, he sees a man who was born blind. Now, in this account of John, it is a prominent mention where Jesus said, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." What an astounding statement. There is no light in this world apart from Jesus Christ. You know, man tries to find light, but Jesus said authoritatively, as speaking as the Son of God, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Now, Jesus had just evaded a stoning death. Oh, how they desired to kill him, to take him away. He was a thorn in the flesh that was deep and going deeper. And he had evaded a stoning death, but he had never evaded his mission on earth to be the light of this dark world. And now he intended to be the light to this man, a man who had never seen or known light. You know, Jesus is the God of the individual. And we are all individuals. We are all responsible to God. You cannot tie yourself to another. And God looks at you as a single person, an individual, who needs to repent of their sins, call upon the light of the world, and be saved. So he knew he was now a hunted man. But this did not dissuade him from being about his Father's business. My, there's things coming down the pike, Pastor, that are going to cause us to think. Do I want to continue this? Do I want to be about my Father's business? There's so much coming down the pike that may hinder us from doing this. But Jesus was determined that he was going to be the light of the world as long as he was with us. And he now shows the power of light in his life to this blind man, this blind beggar who sat there day after day, was known of the neighbors, bending down to him with clay mixed with his spittle, applying it to his eyelids, and commanding him to go to a pool called Sent and thereby wash away his blindness. How unheard of. This stranger comes by. This poor blind man perhaps put out his hand begging alms for the poor. Oh, he got more than alms. He got sight. So the blind man does not object and say something foolish. You know, most people would think he should say something foolish. What is this man doing to me, putting this wet clay on my eyes and asking me to go down to the pool called Sent and wash this away? What good is that? But he didn't say that. He didn't object. He didn't say some foolish, silly, or faithless thing. But he obeys. And somehow he finds his way to the pool. He probably knew, well, that's 182 steps. If I touch this and this and this, I'll get to the pool. He knew the neighborhood. He knew how to get there. So he obeys and finds his way to the pool where his eyes are marvelously opened. and he comes forth seeing something that he had never done before. Oh, how glorious! He would join us in singing Amazing Grace. Once I was blind, but now I can see. Don't you love that song when we sing that? Do you really realize the words of that song when you sing that song? Or is it just a familiar song that you love and so on? But do you realize the words of that song? Once I was blind, but now I can see. Oh, that happened to me. That happened to me. Most of the people in this world, all the people in this world apart from Jesus Christ are what? They're blind. They're all sitting begging. Give me something to give me life. They're begging. And Jesus comes along and gives sight to this blind man. Now later in verse 39, Jesus again declares his purpose, exactly carried out in the life of this man, blind from birth. And Jesus said in verse 39, "For judgment I am come into this world." Now watch this judgment that he's declaring, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. Two purposes of Christ. Not only to make blind men see, but to make seeing men blind. That's his purposes. You know, you got to understand that you're blind before you can see. Oh, people say, "I can see. I know what's going on. I know everything about this world." That's all you know. You're blind. So two purposes of Christ, to make to see and to make blind. Now I believe the blind beggar is representative of any one of us. Have you ever come to that conclusion that you're blind and that you need to see? And you call out to God, "Oh God, I wish to see." And he comes and touches your eyes, and he opens up your eyes to sight of the spiritual world, of eternal life, of the reality of God. Oh, what we see here is so temporal. It's all going to be gone someday. Oh, all the monuments, all the beautiful cathedrals, all the beautiful churches, this building is going to be gone someday. Your house, oh, we take care of our houses so much. That'll be gone someday. Then what are you going to do? But the Father arranged this meeting of Jesus Christ and the blind man for our edification. Oh, how he likes to edify. He likes to build us up. He likes to equip us for the work, for the business. So he does this for our edification and for our learning of his glorious life-saving grace. Oh, how wonderful the grace of God, amazing grace. It's amazing. It's just amazing how he can take one of us and bring us into his kingdom through his grace. So it has spiritual lessons for all ages. It accurately depicts what happens today to a sinner saved by the grace of God. You know, if you are saved, it depicts your spiritual history. Once I was blind, but now I can see. Did that happen to you? Did you realize that you were blind, that you couldn't see the things of God? Jesus Christ told Nicodemus, "Except ye be born again," what? "Ye cannot see the kingdom of God." When he was born again, his eyes were opened. "Oh, it's an amazing thing. I can see the kingdom of God," he perhaps said to himself. But the man found outside the temple represents the sinner alienated from God. He's sitting outside the temple. He's alienated from God. He can't approach God. He's not fit to approach God. You know, when you're blind, you're not fit to approach God. God has to make you fit to approach him. And you have to fit in his Son, Jesus Christ. It's almost like putting on a fine garment, the garment of Jesus Christ. He was blind and unable to see the Savior coming to him. He was blind from birth. So too is the sinner estranged from the womb. Psalm 58:3 verifies this. For it says, the wicked are estranged from the womb. Those two little sweet children that you brought in today, they're estranged from the womb. I'm sorry to say that, but that's what the Word of God says. They go astray as soon as they be born speaking lies. Have they ever lied to you through their crying? Yeah, yeah. Oh, how they can cry. And every cry, most of the cries are simply lies. Estranged from the womb. And the blind man was totally helpless. He was totally helpless, beyond the aid of man, and hopeless unless God intervened. Oh, Jesus passed by and he intervened in his life. He passed by my life and intervened in my life. And I was brought into the kingdom of sight, for I was in the kingdom of blindness before that. But he was simply a beggar. He was simply unable to purchase a remedy for his blindness. He couldn't go to Sacred Heart. Oh, could you do something for my blindness? Oh, maybe they could. Maybe he could have that done today. But in those days, there was no such remedy. He had no remedy. Blind from birth. Completely dependent upon the charity of others. We see him here making no appeal to Jesus Christ for help. No man cometh unto the Father unless the Father draw him. You know, you can't boast and say, well, I came to the Father. No, you can't boast. No man cometh to the Father unless the Father draw him. Such is the condition of the sinner before the grace of God begins to do its work. And then last, the philosophizing and reasoning of the disciples. That was thrown in there, remember? They said, what's the cause of this man's blindness? Is it sin? Oh, they started theorizing. They started talking about theological arguments and talking big and mighty, trying to impress the Lord. But it shows the inability of man to help the sinner to see light. You can't reason a person into seeing the light. You can't do it. You know, here's a blind man, goes into the hospital, and the doctor's trying to talk him into seeing. Can't do it. Can't do it. He has to be touched by Jesus Christ. So by his word, he shows that we too are blind. This passage shows that Jesus Christ is the one who looks for sinners, that he is the one who heals. This passage tells us that some who suffer may suffer that God's power and grace is revealed in the suffering. So there's all kinds of reasons why you may suffer. It shows the imperative nature of God's grace. So Jesus is light as long as he is in the world, and he must work the works of his Father, the works of grace, for that is God's nature. This passage tells us to wash in the water of his word. You know, I think most of us wash every day. Did you wash this morning? Isn't it nice to come to church and know that your neighbor washed in the water? Now, sometimes you go on a bus or something like that, and you sit next to someone and you say, I don't believe that person washed today. But you know, we got to wash in the water of the Word of God. That's the spiritual world that we enter when we're born again. Do you wash in the water of the Word every day as you wash in front of the mirror in the little sink in the bathroom every day? You see, God gives us these things, these examples to encourage us that His world is operating, and our world is showing us how you operate in His world. Washing in the water of the Word and applying it to ourselves, and we will then have light, for He is the light. You know, we are told in Psalm 119, 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. You know, pastors mentioned about the hearing ear. He who hath an ear to hear, let him hear. What's a hearing ear? It's one that lets light in. It's one that lets light in. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Oh, how simple we are. Those little ones are simple. Don't let them be scorners. Let them be wise. You've got a big responsibility when you bring a child into the world. He can become a scorner or he can become wise. They all come simple. None of them are complicated. You got to change their diaper and you got to feed them all the time and you got to put them to sleep and all those little details. Day after day after day, the mother does that. But in that process, you got to make them wise. So continuing in the narrative, John writes of the reaction of the blind man's neighbors. They come to the fore in verse 8. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, "Is not this he that sat and begged?" They were astounded. Their mouth was agape. I mean, they were just taken aback about this occurrence. "Is not this he that sat and begged?" Now, this blind man had been well known in his neighborhood. He was a fixture. You have fixtures in your neighborhoods. You have the old man down the street. You have the old lady down the street. They're fixtures. Wouldn't you be amazed all of a sudden, this 80-year-old woman prancing down the street in her jogging clothes? What's happened? You'd be amazed, would you not? Of course, nowadays, you never know what's going to happen. But the people of the neighborhood were used to seeing him often in his place of begging, for he was a fixture, unable to change his ways. Nobody would have said, well, in a few months, he won't be there. He'll change his ways. No, he was fixed. But you know, Jesus passed by. And when Jesus passes by, there's a change that comes about. You know, if there's no change in your life, when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, something's wrong there. There's something wrong. Because when Jesus comes to change a life, light can't be hidden. So in this passage, John tells us that his neighbors noticed something different about the blind beggar. You know, when you're a Christian, they ought to notice that something's different about you. You know, you walk in a different way. You walk around different paths. Maybe you have a smile on your face. Before was a scowl. But something's different. And people will say, something happened to that person. And the thing that happened was Jesus Christ. Light has done its work. And darkness has been dispelled. The man who was blind is blind no more. The man who had begged begs no more. The difference in a life touched by Jesus Christ is obvious. A work of grace produces something that neighbors see. A work of grace turns a person into a useful person, a person whose eyes are open to truth. My, when your eyes are open to truth, what a difference that makes. Can you imagine going through life blind, stumbling over the hindrances and the barriers of life? That's what you do when you don't know Jesus Christ. But some said in John 9:9-10, "This is he." Others said, "He is like him." But then he admitted, I am he. I am he of you speak. Therefore said they unto him, "How were thine eyes opened?" How did this happen? How did this take place? You're different. How can you see? So this is a typical picture of those regenerated by God. Some saw the man as he had been, but now there was something different about what they saw. Two natures now, where there had been only one before. You know, that new nature is born again. That new nature is to take over. You know, that old nature is gone. You want that to be gone. That new nature is to take over. Get rid of that old nature and let that new nature arise in you, is the message. But the old man is there to occupy the body of death. But the new man has taken up residence to prepare this man for eternal life with God. Oh, that new man. That's what I present to God. That's what I ask God to conform to the image of His Son, that new man. But some recognize the one they had known before his eyes were opened. Others saw a different person. God does not destroy you when you are born again. He regenerates you. He makes you not somebody else. He makes you new. All things are become new. My, I can remember testimonies. I remember the testimony of your husband. Oh, he was saved, and the next morning, it was a whole new world. All things become new. You know, the rain glistened, and the sun shined brighter, and the birds sang louder. All of those things now become new in your life. Oh, it's just a joyous occasion to be born again and to be saved, is it not? It's not a dreary time. It's a joyous time. But He makes you new. This is the miracle of the new birth, to make something that is corrupt incorrupt. Only God can do that. You know, only God can do that. My, you fellas work on your cars, those old cars. You try to make them new. You'll never make them new. You kind of get close, but they'll never be new. But God can make those cars new if He chose to do it, because only God can make you new. So we see a work of grace put to the test. A testimony is called for in the life of the man born blind. They ask, how were your eyes opened? What took place? So very quickly, the new soul in Christ. And here's a lesson for us. Are you ready to testify of God's working in your life? Or do you say, well, I turned over a new leaf. I go down to the Anytime Fitness and make myself better. Or are you ready to testify of the Lord Jesus Christ? So the new soul in Christ is here given an opportunity to bear witness of Jesus Christ, for amazing grace has worked in His behalf. To confess that Jesus is the reason that his eyes were opened. You know, there's a saying around Christmas, Jesus is the reason for the season. Oh, how we need to remember that when we celebrate these holidays like Easter. Poor people that are out searching for eggs today, and that's all they see. Well, it's not a good day for searching for eggs today. Why don't you search for the Lord? So to confess that Jesus is the reason that his eyes were opened, not how they were opened, as asked by the neighbors, but who opened them. You know, we are to testify of the who, not the how. The natural man wants to hear of your experiences, so his curiosity is satisfied. They had no natural desire to hear about Christ. The sign of their unbelief is when they asked how and not who. You know, the whole world of science asks how, but they reject any reference to the who. You know, all of our mind goes to the who. We see the beautiful springtime. We see the azaleas sprouting on the bushes and the wisteria and the sunsets and all of the beauty that God has brought into this world. And we don't say how, we say who. That's the mind of a Christian. That's the mind of one who has brought into the light. That's the mind of one who can see. Belief recognizes a person. Unbelief recognizes a process, a religion. Religion caters to the how and not the who. I should not be concerned about the religious experiences that you have had. I should care about whether you know Jesus Christ. Do you know Jesus Christ? Or have you had religious experiences? No, the answer is, do you know Jesus Christ? Do you have life in Him? Are you joined to Him? Are you related to Him? Belief revolves around a person and not a process. What a principle we have to learn as we grow in Christ. So in John 9, 11 and 12, the blind man has been asked to testify. And he answers and says, and I think he's excited. I see him as so excited that he can't calm down. He was blind since birth. He didn't even know what sight was. Can you imagine not knowing what sight was? Not knowing what colors are? Not knowing what a face looks like, a smile looks like? I can imagine him so thrilled and so excited. And he says, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Oh, how glorious he felt. Then said they unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. So this was this man's simple, honest, and sincere testimony. He told them only what he knew. He knew those facts that he related to them. He related what Jesus had done, but he didn't mention the fact that Jesus had spit on the ground because he hadn't seen that. He didn't see that. John reported it to us, but he didn't relate it to them. He had only felt Jesus apply the wet clay to his eyes. He could honestly testify of that, but he does not mention the wetting of the clay by Christ. Oh, how perfect the Word of God is in its detail. See how the Holy Spirit led John the Apostle to carefully write this book, this holy book. Do you spend time? Did you wash in the water of the Word? You know, if we like to have a nice washed face and a glow on our face, but you know the glow will be a lot better if you wash in the water of the Word. So you notice how in his simple, honest testimony, he publicly names the name of Jesus. He did not shrink from naming the one who had given him sight. My, how people shy about their witness of Christ. You know, it's almost, you can talk about God. Oh, you can talk about God to this person and this person, but enter into the conversation the name Jesus. Oh, and all of a sudden, things get quiet. But we're obligated to point to the one who gave us sight. He didn't shrink from that. He did not couch his testimony in fancy theological terms, skirting around the truth to avoid controversy. Aren't you amused by that on television when somebody talks in such strange ways to try to skirt facing an issue? Oh, how we can do that. We're such manipulators of words. but he simply related what Jesus Christ, the man, did for him. You know, he was a new creation in Christ. He did not have much light, but he was faithful to the light that he had, and that is the way to obtain more light. You know, you want more light? You obey God. Children, you want more light? You obey your parents. You know, just those little ones, they want more light, they'll learn to obey their parents. But we obey God and we'll obtain more light. He didn't embellish the light. He didn't speculate or elaborate or try to impress anyone or elevate himself as someone special. He boasted of the work of Christ. My, how we need to do that. Boasting of the work of Christ in our lives. What would we be without him? Who knows? Who knows? Father, we thank you so much for giving us this wonderful account of this man that was born blind, and yet Jesus passed by and saw this man who had been placed there by God to bring to us, and to enlighten to us, to edify us of the truth that we're all born blind and only the Word of God can bring us sight. So we pray, Father, that you'd help us to see. Once we were blind, but now we can see, and we're thankful, Father, for that. And if there be any here in this little class that is still blind, help them to know they're blind and help them to ask and to plead with you for sight. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.